ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, titled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, verse number 18. Atma Ramopyastvasya Loga Kalpasya Radhase Shaktyayukto vicharati Ghoraya Bhagavan Bhavaha Atma Ramopi Yastvasya Loga Kalpasya Radhase Shaktyayukto vicharati Ghoraya Bhagavan Bhavaha Atma Ramopyastvasya Loga Kalpasya Radhase Shaktyayukto Vicharati Ghoraya Bhagavan Bhavaha Word to a translation, Atma Aramaha, self-satisfied, Api, although he is, Yaha, one who is, Tu, but, Asya, this, Loka, material world, Kalpasya, when manifested, Radhase, For the matter of helping its existence. Shaktya, potencies. Yuktaha, being engaged. Vicharati, he acts. Ghoraya, very dangerous. Bhagavan, his lordship. Bhavaha, Shiva. Translation. Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod, second only to Lord Vishnu, is self-sufficient. Although he has nothing to aspire for in the material world, for the benefit of those in the material world, he is always busily engaged everywhere and is accompanied by his dangerous energies like Goddess Kali and Goddess Durga. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Shiva is known as the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is known as the best of all types of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Consequently, Lord Shiva has a Vaishnava Sampradaya, the disciplic succession known as the Rudra Sampradaya. Just as there is Brahma Sampradaya, coming directly from Lord Brahma, the Rudra Sampradaya comes directly from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is one of the 12 great personalities as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. Swayampur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Pralado Janago Bhishmo Belirvaya Sagirvayam. These are 12 great authorities in preaching God consciousness. The name Shambhu means Lord Shiva. His disciplic succession is also known as Vishnuswami Sampradaya. And the current Vishnuswami Sampradaya is also known as the Vallabha Sampradaya. The current Brahma Sampradaya is known as Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Even though Lord Shiva appeared to preach Mayavad philosophy at the end of his pastime in the form of Shankaracharya, he preached the Vaishnava philosophy. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam Moodhamate. He stressed worshipping Lord Krishna or Govinda three times in this verse and especially warned his followers that they could not possibly achieve deliverance or mukti simply by word jugglery and grammatical puzzles. If one is actually serious to attain mukti, he must worship Lord Krishna. That is Sripad Shankaracharya's last instruction. Herein it is mentioned that Lord Shiva is always accompanied by his material energy, Shaktiya Ghoraya. Material energy, Goddess Durga or Goddess Kali, is always under his control. Goddess Kali and Durga serve him by killing all the asuras or demons. Sometimes Kali becomes so infuriated that she indiscriminately kills all kinds of asuras. There is a popular picture of Goddess Kali in which she wears a garland composed of the heads of the asuras and holds in her left hand a captured head and in her right hand a great khadga or chopper for killing asuras. Great wars are symbolic representations of Kali's devastation of the asuras and are actually conducted by the Goddess Kali. Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka, Brahma Samhita 544. Asuras try to pacify the goddess Kali or Durga by worshipping her in material opulence. But when the asuras become too intolerable, goddess Kali does not discriminate in killing them wholesale. Asuras do not know the secret of the energy of Lord Shiva and they prefer to worship goddess Kali or Durga or Lord Shiva for material benefit. Due to the demoniac character, they are reluctant to surrender to Lord Krishna as indicated by Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Namam duskritano mutha prabhatyante naradhama maya bharadajnana asuram bhavamashritaha. Lord Shiva's duty is very dangerous because he has to employ the energy of goddess Kali or Durga. In other popular picture of goddess Kali is sometimes seen standing on the prostrate body of Lord Shiva. Did you hear that? Another popular picture of Goddess Kali is sometimes seen standing on the prostrate body of Lord Shiva, which indicates that sometimes Lord Shiva has to fall down flat in order to stop Goddess Kali from killing the asuras. Since Lord Shiva controls the great material energy Goddess Durga, worshippers of Lord Shiva attain very opulent positions within the material world. Under Lord Shiva's direction, a worshipper of Lord Shiva gets all kinds of material facilities. In contrast, a Vaishnava or worshipper of Lord Vishnu gradually becomes poorer in material possessions. And because Lord Vishnu does not trick his devotees into becoming materially entangled by possessions, Lord Vishnu gives his devotees intelligence from within, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satadyuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tvam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Thus, Lord Vishnu gives intelligence to his devotees so that the devotees can make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. Since a devotee has nothing to do with any kind of material possession, he does not come under the control of Goddess Kali or Goddess Durga. Lord Shiva also is in charge of Tamogun or the mode of ignorance in the material world. His potency, the Goddess Durga, is described as keeping all living entities in the darkness of ignorance. Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Nidra Rupa Samastita. Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Nidra Rupa Samastita. Both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Vishnu, but Lord Brahma is in charge of creation, whereas Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction, which he carries out with the help of his material energy, Goddess Kali or Goddess Durga. Thus, in this verse, Lord Shiva is described as being accompanied by dangerous potencies, Shaktiya Ghoraya. That is the actual position of Lord Shiva. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ನೋ ವೆರಿ ಡೀಪ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶಿವ. ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಶೈವೈಟ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶಿವ, ಬಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ have good understanding, details understanding about Lord Shiva. So we can see this wonderful purport in which glories of Lord Shiva along with his energies are described. So today we will look into the tattva of Lord Shiva, his wonderful qualities and his pastimes. To start with, we have to acknowledge the fact that the tattva or the philosophical truth behind Lord Shiva is complicated. So Shiva tattva is considered complicated and difficult to understand. We often hear about Vishnu tattva or the philosophical truth behind Lord Vishnu, his expansions, his incarnations, etc. Similarly, there is the whole tattva, whole philosophical truth and expansions coming from Lord Shiva. In essence, why it is complicated? One reason, Lord Shiva is in charge of tamogun. We heard from this purport. He is in charge of tamogun, means he is also in charge of false ego, the ahankar. Ultimately, Ahankar is being controlled by Sankarshan himself, an expansion of Krishna, one of the quadruple expansions. But that duty is also done by Lord Shiva. So what is this Ahankar? Ahankar is, or false ego is, in between spirit and matter. It is classified as matter, but the most subtle aspect of the matter. Isn't it? The most subtle aspect of the matter. So, mano, buddhi, ahankara. The subtleties actually go further. Ahankara, the identification. False ego means false identification. So, even if we consider our own body, we can recognize that we have a mind. Of course, we have the gross body. We have the mind intelligence, which we can perceive. And the spirit soul, atma, has nothing to do with gross or subtle matter. So, we have nothing to do with this body. We have nothing to do with our mind or intelligence, but we do identify with our mind. So this is like a gray area. And Lord Shiva is the Lord of that. So that in itself becomes complicated. Because something which is in between matter and spirit. So that is the tattva of Lord Shiva, and he is in charge of that. Apart from that, Lord Shiva has his Vishnu Tattva aspect, he being the direct expansion of Vishnu, Narayan. He has the aspect of a kind of demigod, as we read in this purport. And he has further expansions, and he has the aspect of Jiva being empowered. So if you see Shiva Tattva in totality, it is very varied and complicated. So let's look into Shiva Tattva in its origin, Shiva Tattva as an expansion of Vishnu Tattva. So the Lord Sadashiv, we have heard the Lord Sadashiv who is in the spiritual world. So if you go beyond the boundaries of this material world, all the different layers which are consecutively thicker and thicker 10 times, if you get through all these layers, so this bhulok and the whole universe is considered as just like an anda, just like egg shaped. So there are different layers. If you go through all the 7 layers of this material universe, if you get out from that, then of course there is the Vaitharani or the Viraja river. And if you go beyond that, one can more visibly perceive Brahma Jyoti. And then if you go further, one enters into the abode of Lord Shiva. So that Shiva is known as Sadashiva. Sadashiva means eternal, always present. So that is the abode of Sadashiva, where Lord Shiva is there along with his associates. Nandi is there, Nandishwar is there. Who is Nandishwar? His carrier of Lord Shiva, bull. And what's the complexion of Sadashiva? It's pure white. Sadashiv, his complexion is pure white. And he is with his associate, that is Mother Parvati, Lord Shiva, Nandishwar, his sons, Kartikeya, everyone is all his associates and all different devotees. They are present in the spiritual world, Sadashiv Loka. So this is his existence as the eternal form, as a Vishnu Tattva, as an expansion of Lord Narayan. So he is present all the time. And what are they doing? They are all worshipping Vishnu. All the associates, they are all Vaishnavas and they are all glorifying Vishnu. And there is a big Sankirtan happening in Shivaloka. Sadashivaloka in the spiritual world, there is constant Sankirtan happening. There is chanting and dancing goes on all the time. So this is Sadashivaloka. So this is the eternal existence of Lord Shiva. However, there is a change to Lord Sadashiv. He expands. What is this expansion? It has to do with material world, right? That's where it is mentioned. Kshiram yadha didhi vikara vishesha yogat. You might have heard this verse from Brahma Samhita. Kshiram yadha didhi vikara vishesha yogat. So there the example is given, just like kshiram, the milk is transformed into yogurt. Kshiram to dadhi. When lemon or an acidic substance is in touch with milk, the same milk is transformed into yogurt. So that is vishesha yoga. So that is showing the qualitative oneness, or it is the same personality. So one was Vishnu Tattva, now it is transformed. So Vishnu Tattva is compared to milk, and the same milk, when it is transformed into yogurt, it is a special tattva, that is Shambhu. He becomes the Shambhu. That is when the Lord glances upon Pradhan. Which Lord glances upon Pradhan? Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu glances upon Pradhan, because in that glance, the Lord is sending all the jivas are being impregnated by the material energy. So that glance, that is Shambhu. He's carrying, that is the Shambhu. So that expansion, because who is now being in touch with the material energy? Because Vishnu can never touch the material energy. When the Lord is present, material energy, as material energy, is always at the back of the Lord. That is the position of the material energy. Material energy cannot be in front of the Lord. In other words, material energy cannot act as material energy in presence of Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example. There is a different departments are there for the government. One department is prison department. For a thief, prison department is very scary. Because if you go to the prison, you'll get punishment. Right? There are no comforts. Probably it may be different little according to the countries, but still. India, if you speak about Tihar jail, it's not very pleasant. You'll get beating is there. And food is also not good, not even roti. You know, wheat ball is given, cooked wheat ball, that is the food. I have heard that, I haven't been there. So it is not very pleasant. So for a criminal, jail is problem. But a person who is working, superintendent of the prison and the government, it is just another department. One who is working there is well paid. So from the perspective of the government, jail is just another department and it is well taken care of. But for a criminal, it's a place of punishment. So the same place is a place of reward for one who is working, and it's a place of punishment for one who is an inmate. Can you see? Similarly, when we speak about the material energy in front of the Lord will not act as material energy, but that is spiritual energy. Ultimately, all the energies are spiritual, and it is only been transformed into material energy for the purpose of creation. So for the Lord, he cannot deal directly with the material energy because it will be transformed into spiritual energy. So who can take the pain of associating with the material energy? So that is done by Shambhu, the expansion of the Lord. Can you see that? So that is an expansion. So in that way, even from the beginning of creation, Lord Shiva is manifesting his the utmost quality of compassion from the beginning. Because he can say, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to associate with the material energy? But right from the beginning of creation, he is manifesting the quality of compassion. And today we'll see how he manifests his quality of compassion. Here also, in this past time also, he manifests his compassion. And throughout in Bhagavatam, we can see Lord Shiva manifests his compassion for the living entities. So this is Shambhu. Yet Shambhutamapi tatha samupaiti karyat govindamati purusham tamaham bhajami. Shambhutamapi. So he takes the role of Shambhu. So this is the second aspect of Lord Sadashiv. He expands as Shambhu. Then, okay, let me ask you, what is the other reference of Lord Shiva in Srimad Bhagavatam? Not in terms of compassion, but in terms of his appearance, which is the most popularly known birth of Lord Shiva. Where from he comes? Okay, from between his eyebrows. The anger of Brahma, Lord Brahma is the secondary creator, the first created living entity. He became angry. Why did he become angry? Oh, because who are the first sons of Lord Brahma? The four Kumaras. And Lord Brahma had an agenda. When these four Kumaras, they went, Sanakadis, the Chadushkumaras, the Sanas, when they came, the Lord has an agenda. Lord Brahma had an agenda. You have to become great Prajapatis, because Prajapatis means progenitors. So the whole purpose of creation is to all these sleeping souls, from the body of Mahavishnu, now they are in this Pradhan, and now in the Mahatattva, they all need to get a body according to their karma. This is a very difficult task for Lord Brahma. According to one's karma, everyone has to be given a body and a place of residence. Billions and billions and trillions of living entities. So Lord Brahma wanted assistance in terms of creating living entities. And he thought, okay, I have my four sons. They can be progenitors. So instructed, okay, you perform austerities, produce children. What did four Kumaras say? We are not going to do that. We are going to join the Brahmacharya ashram. So Lord Brahma became very angry, because these four Kumaras are the Jnana Shakti. They are the expansions of Jnana Shakti of the Lord. That's why they didn't have any interest. They were already realized, Brahman realized. They were spiritually realized. So they didn't differentiate between man, woman, this kind of attraction. He didn't think about this. So this, you know, it's a waste of time. And they had so much control of their body that they were able to remain as just 5-year-old throughout the life. All these yugas, they are still there in the Tapaloka. Four Kumaras are still there in the Tapaloka now also. What are they doing? They are meditating. Always meditating. You know, in Brihad Bhagavatam, the nice reference is coming. When Gopakumar, in his sequential, progressive journey through all different planets, when he reached Tapaloka, he saw that he has no one to speak to. Because everyone is in trance. Everyone sitting. All the trees are booked. By under the tree, everyone is sitting and meditating. So Gopakumar is looking everywhere. Nobody is opening their mouth because everyone is busy meditating. Then after some time, he sat, you know, he was dejected. You know, nobody to speak to. It's like, you know, you come to a temple, nobody is speaking to you. There are a lot of people, but everyone is busy working and nobody is speaking. First time coming. Gopakumar went to the Tapaloka for the first time. Nobody there to speak to. So what he did, he sat there dejected. Then Sanat Kumara, he's the head, he understood what's the situation. So he came out from the trance and he spoke to Gopakumar. And before that, he saw that in between this meditation, they will come out from the meditation, then there is a class, there is a Bhagavatam class. But Bhagavatam class was too technical. So Gopakumar couldn't understand anything. They were speaking about the tattva, very philosophical truths, very, you know, logic reasons they were discussing. And after that, everyone went and they started their meditation. So in between some discussion, that Gopakumar couldn't understand anything. And after that, they continued their meditation. But Sanat Kumar, he came and spoke to Gopakumar. He said, you know, this is the best thing to do. You don't need to speak to anyone. You don't need to do service. Externally, you don't need to do anything. Because ultimately, mind is the reservoir of all the sensory inputs. So whatever you can experience by outward actions, you can experience everything within. So there is no need to do all this kind of things externally. You just meditate, you can experience everything. That was his explanation. Gopakumar was not very satisfied hearing that. But he continued his pursuit. You know, so this is Tapaloka. So these Kumaras are still there. Still they are meditating. So these Kumaras, they didn't want to create progenies. So Brahma became angry. And between his eyebrows, Rudra came. When Rudra came, his name is Rudra. So first is Sadashiv, Shambhu, now Rudra. So Rudra, what was he doing when he took birth? No, before that. Crying, Rodati. Rodati means crying. Rodati iti Rudra. It's Rudita, he's crying all the time. Crying. Then his complexion was bluish black. Right? Then it was bluish black. Okay, not Sadashiv. Now he is bluish black. And then he said, okay, you can create progenitors, and he left him. But then he started creating all different kind of ghosts and this and that, so many different kinds of creatures. And then Brahma had to call him back. No. Go perform austerities. Don't do this now. At the time of destruction, you can do all these kind of things. Now just go and perform austerities. Don't create all these kind of living entities who are going to create a lot of troubles. So this is Rudra. And apart from that, Lord Shiva has multiple expansions, even this material world. You know about Shiva who is sitting on the Kailash. Then in the Ilavrata Varsha, Lord Shiva with Mother Parvati is performing austerities and worshipping the Lord. So the Lord has multifarious expansions in this form. So this is the tattva of Lord Shiva. And interestingly, even if there is no qualified person to accept the body of Rudra, then even a jiva can be empowered to get the body of Rudra, to be Lord Shiva in this material world. And the source of this Rudra, Shiva, one is from Brahma, and also he can come from Sankarshan. When is that? When the Sankarshan becomes active? Anyone knows? When Sankarshan becomes active in this world? The time of destruction. So the Anantashesh comes, and from the hood of Anantashesh, all these Rudras again become manifest. And they take part in destruction. They do the Tandava dance, Tandava Nritya. And you know, they set ablaze the whole material world. So at the time of destruction. That's why in the purport we can see, Prabhupada mentioned, Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction. So this is the primary tattva of Lord Shiva. And at the same time, we have to see that the qualities of Lord Shiva in this purport, Prabhupada quotes, and many purports, Prabhupada quotes, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Lord Shiva is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. Why is he known as greatest of the Vaishnavas? Because he has Vaishnava qualities. We can call ourselves Vaishnavas, or we can call ourselves as devotees of the Lord. We can wear dhoti, we can wear kurta, we can have tilak, we can shave the head. I had to shave my head. So, we can do everything externally, but the real qualities of Vaishnava is not external, but they are internal. And throughout in Bhagavatam, there are pastimes in which Lord Shiva manifests his qualities, Vaishnava qualities. And one of the beginning such pastime is in the same canto. That is during the Dakshayajna. Because Dakshayajna, Daksha was very, very offensive towards Lord Shiva. Right? He was very, very offensive towards Lord Shiva. Because Daksha, the son of Brahma, he had to give his daughter Sati in charity as the wife of, has to give charity to Lord Shiva as Lord Shiva's wife. And Daksha wasn't happy about this. Because Brahma proposed, who is his father, to out of respect, out of courtesy, Daksha gave his daughter Sati to Lord Shiva. But internally he was dissatisfied. Why? Why was he dissatisfied? Because Lord Shiva, he was living here and there on top of the mountain. There is no house. There is no house. And his body is smeared with ashes. And he was wearing a garland of skull. Can you imagine? Somebody wearing garland of skulls. We have flower garland. Garland of skulls. And he was wearing that. And of course, Daksha was very displeased. And he would jump and dance and, you know, he will shout. So seeing all this, Daksha wasn't very happy at all. And that's why, since Lord Shiva didn't get up from an asan, from his seat, during Dakshayajna, Daksha became very angry and started cursing Lord Shiva. And he started criticizing him in a very heavy fashion. In this pastime, we can see the qualities of Lord Shiva. So the whole purport is about Lord Shiva. So let's try to see what are the qualities of Lord Shiva. One, why Lord Shiva lives very simply? He is a householder without a house. He's a householder, but there is no house. He's living top of the mountain. And there is no roof. There is no shelter. Why? Because he is so engaged in devotional service that he doesn't have any time for anything external. So one quality of Lord Shiva is very simple in his living, and he's completely absorbed in worshipping the Lord. Why he has got all the skulls around his neck, skull garland? Do you know what the skulls, where are the skulls coming from? One is Parvati, and also he collects all the skulls of great devotees, and he has made a garland and he has put along on his head. So he has, what can think about that? Devotee skull, Lord Shiva is wearing as a garland. So this is, he has so much of affection for the devotees. And why is he has got the snake around his neck? Because that is reminding him of Lord Sankarshan, his worshipable Lord. Because Lord Sankarshan's expansion is Ananta in the form of the snake. So he's reminding him of the Lord. So Sankarshan is around his neck. So what kind of attire Lord Shiva has got? So cannot get more simpler than that. At the same time, he is very tolerant. That is an important quality of Lord Shiva. So even though Daksha blasphemed him, he was telling, you know, my daughter, she has eyes similar to that of a deer cub. Whereas Lord Shiva, his eyes are like that of monkeys. This was a kind of comparison Daksha was giving. Still, he was tolerant. He didn't tell anything. You know, someone criticizes us. Immediately, we want to defend, right? We have strong defense mechanism. Prabhupada said, actually, towards the end of his life, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, eating meat, mating, sleeping and defending, this animalistic propensities I have given up. He said, the only one thing that was remaining was eating. Now I have given up that also. That was his final statement. He said, long back I have given up the propensities to other three propensities. That is, mating, sleeping and defending. I have given up those propensities. Yes, Prabhupada was mentioning. And now I am giving this also. Eating also. This is a very advanced platform. That's why Lord Shiva is very tolerant and there is no defense mechanism. Why there is defense? We defend, right? All the time we are defending. The defense is there because fear is there. If the concomitant factor of fear is defense. If there is no fear, there is no defense. The second nature of material existence is fear. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesatasyat ishatapayatasya viparya smriti. So that's when we are away, we turn our back towards Krishna, then naturally we are under the control of material energy, and in the material energy there has to be fear. There has to be fear because we are filled, even though we are eternal, we are Sachidananda, we identify ourselves with something which is temporary. And in this world, everything is temporary. So there is fear of losing it. So there is fear. And since there is fear, we have to defend. And since Lord Shiva is above that, he was tolerant and he was able to not defend for himself. So he just sat there. He heard all the blasphemy. He didn't speak anything. He just got up and he walked away. And all the commotions took place because his followers, including Nandishira, they got offended, and there was curses and counter curses, and there was a mess during the Daksha. Next quality of Lord Shiva is that he wants to save the lowest of the people. The lowest of the people are who do not have a body to enjoy. They are the Bhudagan. So in the fourth canto, it's mentioned Lord Shiva as the Charachara Guru. He is the Lord of both the living and non-living entities. He is the Lord of all the Bhutas, Bhutanath. He wants to save them. That's why he's going to crematorium and he spends time in crematorium and throw all the ashes all over his body. He wants to elevate them to the next level. He knows that the Bhutas cannot suddenly become devotees and start worshipping Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. But he wants to give them shelter so that at least they can come to the next stage. And at least he wanted to give them a human body where they can get an opportunity again to come in touch with devotional service. That's why we can see in the same canto that the untimed pregnancy of Diti, right? What happened? Lord Shiva is actually waiting for an opportunity to send these Bhutas into such wombs so that they get an opportunity, so they can get a human body, and then at least they make some progress in the human form. So Lord Shiva is very compassionate in that way. So that's why he's ready to preach to the lowest category. No one wants to preach to them, but he's ready to do that. Just like in the beginning of creation, no one wants to associate with the material energy, but Shiva in the form of Shambhu is ready to associate with the material energy. Similarly, to preach, Lord Shiva is ready to associate with all these lowest living entities. And his preaching strategy is also very unique. Isn't it? Because he looks like a ghostly affected person, a haunted person. Lord Shiva looks like that. Long matted hair, ashes all over, skull around his neck. So he is, in one sense, getting aligned with the attires of all the ghosts. They don't look very good. So Lord Shiva is also looking just like them, to preach to them. And he is choosing the right place to preach. That is crematoriums. Can you see? When we preach, we have to identify with the people to some degree, so that they get connected to us. They have to feel that, okay, we are one among them. Right? Then it is easier. Okay, he's not that far off person. Okay, these devotees, they are like us, human beings. Then it becomes easier to preach, to get that bridge connection. Lord Shiva is accepting such lower forms or lower attire to attract them. So that is the compassion of Lord Shiva. And on top of that, Lord Shiva has a great quality. He sees good in others. In Daksha also, it is mentioned that There are people, if you see a person, both good and bad are there in all people, right? If you pick anyone, generally, everyone has good and bad in them. But there is one category of people, if you present good and bad, they can only see bad. Right? Bhavadashas, they are called Bhavadashas. Sridhar Swami writes in his commentary. Bhavadashas. Bhavadashas are the people, if you see a person, they can only see bad in that person. Daksha was like that. Lord Shiva had a lot of good qualities, but he could only see bad in Lord Shiva. He was criticizing for his eyes, for his dress, etc. He couldn't see anything good in him. And above that are the people who are known as Mahantas. Mahantas, they can see both good and bad. If you see a person, they can see both good and bad. They discriminate, but they act accordingly. They can see both good and bad. And higher than that are the Mahattaras. Mahattaras, they don't care about the bad qualities, but they simply focus on the good qualities of a person. So that fandom, take the good qualities. And higher than that is Mahattamas. Those are the devotees. They neglect the bad qualities and they amplify, enlarge the good qualities so that they can encourage and they can actually make them into good quality devotees. So these are the Mahattamas. So Lord Shiva falls into that category. He can see just good, only good, and he wants to amplify those good qualities. When great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, he's like Lord Shiva, he went to the lowest of the place to preach. And he encouraged the devotees, just picking the good qualities. Even though there were many, many bad qualities, Prabhupada could see the good qualities. Very important for a preacher. Prabhupada said about hippies, oh, you are addicted to intoxicants, illicit sex, all this kind of negative things. But Prabhupada said, you have a very good quality. What is that? Renunciation. You are not attached to material comforts and not attached to families. So you are able to surrender unto me. So the devotees of Prabhupada, even though materially some of them were not so qualified, they could achieve magnificent feats in serving Krishna. In India, many scholars and the intelligentsia, they started analyzing how ISKCON became successful in such a short span of years. The conclusion was Guru Nishtha. They were surrendered unto Guru Srila Prabhupada. It's a very important quality. Even if you don't have any quality, if you have this one quality, Guru Nishtha, want to follow the spiritual master, representatives, then one can do wonderful things. So this is Srila Prabhupada. They've surrendered, all the initial devotees, they surrendered unto Srila Prabhupada. And the followers, they surrendered unto Srila Prabhupada. And they could do wonderful things. So this is very, and Srila Prabhupada accepted and he glorified for that renunciation. It's a very good quality. And from there, everything else came. All other qualities came. That's it. Because it's there in the jiva. It's only a matter of bringing it out. That's all. It's there in the jiva. Now it's covered, but when it comes out, one becomes purer devotees than what it was before. Similarly, Lord Shiva is very much fixed in Krishna consciousness. So he doesn't care about the externals. And in the same canto, he chants, he explains why he was not interested in getting up when Daksha came into the assembly. He says, Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Itiriyate Yatra Pumana Pavrate Satvena Tasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Hi Adhokshajome Manasa Vidhiyate. He says, his consciousness is Vishuddha Sattva. Or it is also known as Vasudeva Shabditam. In the 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada writes, so Vasudev is known as Vasudev because his consciousness is Vishuddha Sattvam. So that is Vasudev consciousness. Puman, yatra puman apavarte. If there is Vasudev consciousness, then Krishna is present there. Krishna manifests there. So from Vasudev, Vasudev appeared. Similarly, Lord Shiva is telling, my consciousness is Vishuddha Sattva, Vasudeva Shaditam. Yatiriyate, yatra puman apavarte. Where puman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifests, is present. And Satvena Tasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Hi Adhokshajo Me Manasa Vidhiyate. Because I constantly pay obeisances unto that Vasudev who is situated in my heart. So he said, I am actually paying obeisances to all the people in this world because the Vasudev is present as Paramatma in all the living entities and I am paying obeisances unto all of them. So the ultimate obeisances is to the Paramatma within the heart of all the living entities. And Lord Shiva is on that platform. He is able to see Krishna everywhere. He is able to see Krishna's energy everywhere. So this is pure Krishna consciousness. So that's why he is not externally not so interested. And he is able to show such compassion At the same time, he's very forgiving. When the whole Dakshayagya finished and all the calamities took place, he forgave Daksha. He was okay. He gave a goat's head and he forgave. He adjusted all the situations. He said, okay, he was forgiving also. You know, he became very angry, but after that he was very forgiving. This is Vaishnava quality. Surrendered, okay, forgiven. His wife was killed. In that sense, she committed suicide, but because of the whole yagya and because of Daksha, Sati took her own life. Lord Shiva became very angry, but when Daksha surrendered, it was okay. So, devotee is very forgiving. That is the quality of the devotee. A devotee has to learn to forgive. We forgive means then we have forgiven. Then don't go and complain to another 10 people. You understand? Then it is not forgiven. You understand? So forgiven means then done and dusted. It's not so easy, but that's a Vaishnava quality. So Lord Shiva was like that. He didn't again go and complain about Daksha. He didn't do that. Just left it. So Lord Shiva is also Ashutosh. Ashutosh means he can be very pleased very easily. He becomes very happy very easily. If someone does some service, Lord Shiva becomes very happy. And that gives him trouble as well. You know the story, like Banasur. You can read Banasur. Banasur pleased Krishna. And what he wanted? How many arms? Thousands of arms. And at the end, after some time, Banasur came to Lord Shiva and he started telling Lord Shiva, I don't have suitable enemies. Give me someone to fight with. The Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva understood, he's a rascal, Krishna Book Prabhupada writes, and Lord Shiva said, I've given this boon to a rascal, and he wants to fight. And he said, okay, soon there will be a person who will come, who will defeat you, don't worry. So he was creating all the disturbance, and then we know the pastime of Banasur's daughter, right? Who is that? Usha. And Usha wanted to marry Aniruddha, right? And then Chitralekha brings him. And then the whole fight between the Banasur and Krishna. And Lord Shiva had given the promise to Banasur, I will be there for your protection. So Lord Shiva became in trouble because of his promise. Because he was Ashutosh, he got himself into trouble. He had to fight with Krishna. Right? All these different arrows both are shooting. And at the end, Lord Shiva had to take shelter of Shivajjura, which was creating so much of heat. Then Krishna took Narayana Jura. And finally, Lord Shiva was defeated because of the cold. And also he had the yawning arrow. You know that? Yawning arrow. Shiva started yawning and trying to go to sleep. Couldn't do anything. Lord Shiva got completely defeated in front of Krishna. And Shiva knows that already. And Krishna cut all the arms of Banasur, left only two. In that way, Banasur became submissive. He surrendered it to Krishna. So this is Shiva, Ashutosh. And Vrikasura got himself into trouble, Lord Shiva, right? He wanted to touch. He said, give me a boon. If I touch anyone's head, their head will explode, burst into ashes. The demon wanted such kind of a boon. Then he started coming near, Vrikasura started coming near Lord Shiva. Can I try? Is it true? Let me try, test on you. Lord Shiva got scared. If he touches, it'll work. The Lord Shiva started running. Then he had to think about Krishna. Then Krishna came. And Krishna, what form Krishna came? Do you know? No. As a brahmachari, that's right, as a brahmachari. He said, as a playful brahmachari, came in front of Vrikasura and said, what are you doing? He said, I meditated on Lord Shiva, I pleased Lord Shiva, and now I have got this boon. If I touch anyone's head, their head will explode. So he started laughing. Oh, what is this? You know, Shiva, do you believe Lord Shiva? He gives all these kind of funny promises, funny boons. It doesn't work. He said, then Vrikasura, he started thinking, is it true? This boy is telling. Then he said, yeah, what is this? It doesn't work. No, it'll work, I'll tell you, it'll not work. You just touch your own head and test. Nothing will happen to you. He touched his head. And Vrikasura's head exploded. So that was the end of the story. So then Lord Shiva, he understood, he's very compassionate, but sometimes he's unduly compassionate. So he gives all this kind of crazy boons. And get himself into trouble. So like Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. For devotees, here we can see in this pastime, all this, the Prachetas, they please Lord Shiva. And then he gave the mercy in terms of Krishna mantra. So Lord Shiva gave the path of perfection to Prachetas. So he acts in that world also. And ultimately, he acts for the welfare of others. That is the Lord Shiva's quality. He acts for the welfare of others. That's why we know in the 8th canto, when that halahala poison, the Kalakuta poison, was generated after churning of the ocean, the milk ocean, then there was no one to drink that poison. And Lord Shiva, he agreed. When the Prajapatis prayed to Lord Shiva, can you please do something about it? He condensed that poison into one drop and he drank. Mother Parvati was very concerned because her husband, he said, you know, it shouldn't go beyond the neck. So then he became Neelakantha. The poison got stuck to his throat. So Lord Shiva started known as Neelakantha. So he's very compassionate. He's ready to do anything for the welfare of the world. So that is the quality of Lord Shiva. And there is a beautiful verse in this connection, glorifying Lord Shiva. It is equally applicable to all of us. And Srila Prabhupada writes a very important purport to this. I'll read that. It's from the 8th canto, 7th chapter, 44th verse. Tapyante lokatapena sadhavo prayacho jano paramarthana taddhi purishasyakhila atmano. It is said that the great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. Great, this is the qualification of great personalities. They will accept voluntarily suffering to alleviate the suffering of other people. This is considered as the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Can you see that? This is considered as the highest worship of the Supreme Lord. What is the form of the highest deity worship? This is the highest form of worship of the Supreme Lord. That is taking on suffering to alleviate other suffering. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:68-69, Ya idam paramam guhyam mat bhaktya abhisashyati nacha tasman manisheshu kachin me prayagartama. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotee is the most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. So here Prabhupada makes this point that this is the greatest welfare activity, and Lord Shiva is performing this greatest welfare in this pastime. Prachetas pastime also we can see. They approached Lord Shiva without any material motivations. So Lord Shiva engaged them in worshipping Krishna and ultimately to get Krishna prem. So Lord Shiva is also a head of the sampradaya, as mentioned in this purport. He is the head of Vaishnava sampradaya, known as Rudra sampradaya. Vishnu Swami is a great acharya in the Rudra sampradaya. Later, Vishnu Swami himself incarnated as Vallabhacharya, because he was so attached to spreading the glories of the Lord. So Vishnu Swami himself came as Vallabhacharya and he continued preaching Krishna consciousness. That's why Vallabhacharya got association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Eventually, he got the shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. We know the pastime. So Vallabhacharya Sampradaya is very popular in many parts of India. And they are known as Pushtimark, worshipping Balagopal. So that is coming from Lord Shiva. We can hear in this purport that Goddess Durga is energy of Lord Shiva or Kali. And she can kill all the demons, purport Srila Prabhupada writes. And sometimes indiscriminately, she kills all the demons. That's why she has a chopper in her hand. Prabhupada writes that those who are worshippers of Lord Mother Durga, Goddess Durga, they don't know about this chopper. They don't know about the tiger. Because any time she can use her trishul and chopper and kill them. If they become too much demoniac, she kills. Like in Bhagavatam, we know the pastime of Jadabharat, right? Jadabharat. He was you know, used by his brothers as a scarecrow. Because they understood he's not going to complain about anything. Whatever we give him, he's eating. They give stale food, he would eat and he considered it as nectar. Whatever leftover, he was oblivious to the outside world. He would eat anything. They thought it's a good deal. We can just feed him anything and let him be the scarecrow for our fields. So they put him there. He was just sitting there all night. Just dumb and duff, doing nothing, speaking nothing. Then the dacoits came. They were looking for an animal-like man. And I think they didn't find, I think they had someone to offer as a sacrifice to Goddess Durga, and they lost that person. They found Jadabharat sitting there. So all of them, they caught Jadabharat and took him. And Jadabharat didn't protest. And they bathed him, dressed him nicely, offered him flower garlands. And next, what's next? They wanted to chop his head off. So they were ready. They were so heinous. They put him in front of the deity of Kali. And they took the chopper and they wanted to cut his head. Jadabharat didn't protest. But from the deity, Kali came out, Durga came out and started killing all these demons, all these dacoits. Started killing all of them, one after another. Blood came out. He even started drinking that blood. That was the power of Kali, material energy. The manifestation of material energy. So when the demons, as mentioned in this purport, when the demons become too powerful, then Goddess Kali, she herself will kill them. Personally, this is an example of personally killing them. Otherwise, Prabhupada writes, all these wars and all these things going on in this world, they are all representations of Goddess Kali, Durga. The people are getting annihilated. So this is power of Kali. And Lord Shiva is glorified because Goddess Kali is under the control of Lord Shiva, even though there is a counter example here. Even Lord Shiva paying prostrated obeisances unto Kali. Stop all this killing. You know, unduly killing people, just stop it. So just to pacify her, he is paying obeisances unto Kali. So this is the power of Lord Shiva. He is completely under control. Actually, that's why it is mentioned. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that when Sati committed suicide, then she came as the daughter of Himavan, as the Parvata, so she became Parvati. And she was worshipping Lord Shiva, and she worshipped the linga, the genitals of Lord Shiva. Still, he was not agitated. Lord Shiva was not agitated by the worship of Parvati. So that's why it is considered Lord Shiva is completely self-controlled. And here also the word is used, is Atmarama. He's self-sufficient. No one can agitate him but the Supreme Lord. That is Mohini Murthy pastime. No one can agitate him but the Supreme Lord can. So that is Mohini Murthy, because it's Vishnu himself. And so the devotees worship Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavana Yatha Shambhu. In Vrindavan, Lord Shiva is worshipped as Gopishwar Mahadev. Lord Shiva wanted to enter pastimes of Rasa dance of Krishna. And he took, you know, Lalita assisted and took bath in Yamuna and entered to the Rasasthali in the form of a woman. But Krishna recognized, oh, this is Lord Shiva. He said, you know, no, you are not part of the Rasa dance. This is for the gopis. You be outside, just in the periphery. You be the protector, you be the dhampal. So you be stationed there. So that is Gopishwar Mahadev. And Lord Krishna gave him the name Gopishwar. You are the lord of the gopis. You are the protector of the gopis. In that way, Lord Shiva is present in Vrindavan. He is also present at Asheshwar Mahadev, right? In Vrindavan, Asheshwar Mahadev. Because Lord Shiva came with all these three eyes as a Baba to see Lord Krishna when he was born. Mother Yashoda got scared. who is this Baba? He took Krishna away and he didn't give darshan of Krishna. And he sat for some time and Mother Asha said, you know, go out from here. Otherwise my boy is going to cry. So Lord Shiva was very disappointed. He wanted to take darshan of Krishna. So he went and he started meditating on Krishna with lot of desire. So Asha to see Krishna, desire to see Krishna. So that is Asheshwar Mahadev. Then Krishna never stopped crying. Then they understood, okay, we had to call this Baba back. So they got Lord Shiva back and he got the darshan of Krishna and Krishna stopped crying. So that is Asheshwar Mahadev. Then there is Chakaleshwar Mahadev. In Govardhan, if you go, Chakaleshwar Mahadev or Chakreshwar Mahadev, where Sanatan Goswami's bhajan sthal is there. Sanatan Goswami was performing bhajan there and mosquitoes were biting him all the time. So at one point, Sanatan Goswami thought, I'm going to leave this place. Too many mosquitoes. India, you know, right? Mosquitoes. So one day he decided, I'm going to leave this place. So that night, Lord Shiva came and told Sanatan Goswami in the form of a brahmana, came and told him, just stay for one more day. One more night you stay here. And if mosquitoes are biting you, then tomorrow you can go, but don't go today. Because Lord Shiva was very attached to the bhajan of Sanatan Goswami. So Lord Shiva went to the demigod of mosquitoes. So there's a demigod for everything, right? So the demigod of mosquitoes and told, please don't disturb Sanatan Goswami. From now onwards, don't disturb him. So all the mosquitoes, they started not bothering Sanatan Goswami. So then onwards, Sanatan Goswami did bhajan there. That's why if you go there, you can see Chakaleshwar Mahadev. So this is a great, great devotee. Lord Shiva is very attached to his devotees, very attached to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he has all these Vaishnava qualities. So we can meditate on Lord Shiva and try to follow in his footsteps, our baby steps, develop some good qualities of Vaishnavas, do proper chanting, do service, do preaching, because this is pleasing to the Lord. So I'll read the translation. So Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod, second only to Lord Vishnu, is self-sufficient. Although he has nothing to aspire for in the material world, for the benefit of those in the material world, he is always busily engaged everywhere and is accompanied by his dangerous energies like Goddess Kali and Goddess Durga. That is the position of Lord Shiva. He is trying to help the living entities. So I stop here and see if there are any questions, comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Your Vaishnava teaching, you see defense in two aspects so far. That one is out of fear we do, and one defense we do when our thoughts are being heard. Someone says something and then we start.
That is also defense. That we are defending our false ego. Yeah.
Out of lack of tolerance, how do we see that? Because as you said, Prabhupada said, he left everything. Sleeping also gone, praying also gone, defending also gone. So how do we see that?
How to come to that platform? Yeah. Definitely it is not overnight. It's a gradual progression. We had to make gradual progress. One is defending out of fear and there is defending out of love. That is accepted. That is, one can defend the Lord, one can defend the devotees, one can defend the Shastra. So defense is not bad as such. But when we are defending out of fear of false ego and the expansions of false ego, then it's a problem. That's material consciousness. Otherwise, devotees are supposed to defend the Lord. Defend Shastra. If somebody is presenting wrong arguments, we have to argue back, give the proper praman. So defense has its purpose.
Like
attacking
a class, we're mentioning about Roga Devi and how even sometimes it's just not personally killing demons, and she's directed so much, like a lot of wars to kill them. So we can all understand that Maya Devi is a devotee, but then everything she does is only for the good of the conscious souls. But then the sentence is really hard to understand.
Prabhupada writes the thankless task. She does the thankless task of keeping the unqualified living entities in the material world, because we are unqualified. or if people are unqualified, then she wants to keep all the living entities here. If one is qualified, can go above. So Durga Devi is testing. If one is sincere, and as one get purified, Durga Devi, Maya Devi will actually help. Because if a little bit of my practical example, if a little bit of Maya comes to our consciousness, if one is very sincere, one will run towards Krishna. Initially, if there is Maya, oh, it's very good, let me try it out. One is flirting with Maya, then entangled with Maya and diving deep into the Maya. And the other side, when we are sincere, as we become more sincere devotees, what happens if there is a Maya? We become, okay, I have to run towards Krishna. So that's why Maya Devi is helping devotees to run towards Krishna. So that aspect is there as well. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
In yesterday's class, Prabhuji was saying that different Puranas are categorized as passionate and in the mode of relation. So where are Shiva obviously mostly in Shiva Purana? So what is that category?
It's not like the Puranas are classified as different modes, but Puranas are presented for people in different modes. If somebody is in ignorance, and if they want a gradual progression, then they can go through Shiva Puran, Linga Puran. There are different Puranas which are not necessarily presenting all pure devotional service. So they can make gradual progression. So that's why different Puranas are presented for different kinds of people. But in Kali Yuga, especially at this point in time, we don't have so much of time. First of all, we don't even understand if we read. There is no time to read, understand, and you know, in another few hundred lifetimes come to Bhagavatam. It's not going to work. So we need Amala Puran. We need directly Bhagavatam. So we don't recommend, okay, now you go through all these Purans and, you know, come to the right conclusion. No, but even Skanda Puran is also in the mode of ignorance, Skanda Puran. But in Skanda Puran also, glorification of the Lord is there. I think Saturday class was a quotation about glories of hearing. That is from Skanda Puran. And Skanda Puran, it is mentioned. Skanda Puran is Kartikeya, Shiva's son. Skanda Puran, it is mentioned. The highest worship is worship of Krishna. It's mentioned. It is there. So these mentions are very minimal. It is not the emphasis. It is just there. All the Puranas talks about worship of the Lord, but minimally. So that is called Atistuti. They glorify all these demigods disproportionately so that those who are in those modes, they can get some faith and they can make some progress like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, last time, about how Lord Shiva has this garland around his neck of skulls, you know, when he was about to marry, how he
or she? I just told the principle. I cannot get into this. No, this is, generally, it is the, oh, no, I'm not getting into that past. I mean, when the Parvati's, all the, you meditated me, or many lifetimes, you told, okay, she told Parvati, you meditated me on so many lifetimes, and each time you leave the body, I took that skull, and made this garland out of it. Okay. Alright then. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay.